Friday night, I went to celebrate Mass at Chico State Park for the Into the Wild retreat. This is a lay movement of having retreats for men and their sons out in the forest, and they do different things, fishing and hiking, but also spiritual talks and masses and so forth. And so since it was Friday, I said, don't be scared because it's Friday the 13th and I'm Father Voorhees. Found out that Jason's last name was Voorhees, which I don't know why they did that. Should sue them for defamation of name. But when in 1991, I was just a newly ordained priest at St. Genevieve in Lafayette. And I had just, come from studying in Rome. And I kind of scared the people a little bit by saying that I have it on good authority that the last judgment will be complete by 1992. I said, I have people at the highest levels of the Vatican who have assured me of this, and I've even had evidence with my own eyes. And I know that Jesus says, nobody knows the day or the hour, but I have it all as good assurance that it will take place by 1992. So I asked the people to raise their hands if they believed me, and I think a few did. And then I said, well, what I'm talking about is the painting of The Last Judgment by Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. It was being cleaned, and it was going to be finished in 1992. So I think a few people were at least a little bit relieved that I didn't have some special connection, right? But to think about the end of the world, some kind can be a scary thing, but if we look at it from the point of view of Jesus, it's a great thing. This is the ultimate victory of God over evil in the world, and it's something really to look forward to. To have this kind of a victory. So maybe we can clean up our understanding about the last judgment. What are the facts? Well, the world will end one day. History, time is going to stop at some point. And Jesus has given us that assurance. And we know that the sun that we depend on only has a few billion more years of energy in it, right? So that's eventually going to go, and for sure the earth will go at that time, or life on it, if not before. And secondly, we know that Christ will come in glory to judge humanity as a whole. So that's what we call the general judgment. When we die, we have what we call the particular judgment, just the person and God himself, right? But the general judgment is how have we as humanity responded to God as a whole? And then there is the judgment, and those who love God go to heaven ultimately, if not to purgatory first. Those who hate God go to hell. And Jesus says as a fact that nobody knows the day or the hour. So if somebody does come to you predicting, they are false. They do not know. They have no assurance of that. So if you're not looking forward to the end of the world and you feel like you have some unfinished business, then it's time to take care of that unfinished business. And if your first reaction is that's bad news, then make it good news by delving into the spiritual things of life and focusing on our ultimate goal, which is heaven, heavenly glory. And Dr. Kubler-Ross, who worked with those who were terminally ill, said that they all said the same thing, that there was only two things that mattered, not fame and glory and possessions and things like that, but did they serve others and did they love? Did they serve others and did they love God and neighbor? And that's what Jesus himself had said, right? I have come to serve and not to be served. And that was Jesus himself. And then he said, love one another as I have loved you. In 2009, they had that movie that came out entitled 2012. And it was by a director, Roland Emmerich, who was anti-Catholic, anti-religion. And he jumped on this Mayan calendar thing that supposedly said that the world was going to end in 2012, right? I think my niece had heard about it and was all afraid and was... She and her little friend went out and were holding on to each other, expecting the end of the world, and then it passed, and they were relieved. They said, oh, good, it's not the end. And so, but in this movie, 2012, It tried to use the Mayan calendars, but even the descendants of the Mayans said, it's just a cyclical thing, end of one calendar and the beginning of another, not the end of the world. But our readings do focus on that end times. The book of Daniel today, written 160 years before Jesus, for the Jewish people who were being persecuted at that time by the Greeks, who were trying to force them to lose their religion by forcing them to burn incense to false gods, to eat pork, and do all sorts of things that were against their religion. And many people were fighting against it, but some were succumbing to it. So this book was written to encourage the people that even in the face of these grave evils, not to give up, to persevere until the end. And that Michael, the archangel Michael, was their protector. He is the special protector of Israel, and we say also of the church. In the psalm today, it said, have confidence in God as your protector. He is with you. He's watching over you. And in the gospel today, Mark 13, Jesus looks at the end of the world and what these signs are going to say, and it's going to be evident to everybody. Nobody's going to have to tell you it's the end of the world. It's going to be very evident. So nobody's going to have to predict it. It will be clear. And Jesus was kind of speaking of two different ends at that time. So this was, say, in the year 30, close to 33 AD, right, when Jesus was saying this. And in the year 70 AD, some 40 years later, the temple of Jerusalem would be destroyed. And the people thought it was the end of the world. And it was kind of an end of their particular world at that time, because that's where the Jewish priests would offer sacrifice, only in the temple of Jerusalem. And now that it was destroyed, there was no more need for the Jewish priesthood, no more place for them, and there was no more temple. But God knew that there was no more need for that kind of a temple anymore, because Jesus said his body was the temple. Remember what he said? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. They destroyed it on a Friday. He rose on Sunday, the third day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so Jesus' body is the very temple where God and man continue to meet. And that's what we do here at this altar. Every Sunday, the day of his resurrection, we meet God in the body of Christ. And we are in communion with him and with one another. So that reading from Hebrews today, that the Old Testament priests offering these sacrifices that could never forgive sins, but the sacrifice that we offer in the New Testament priesthood is that one eternal sacrifice of Jesus that does forgive sins. And the grace of God is applied to us to give us strength and courage to fight the good fight of faith in the world that we live in. That can sometimes be scary, as we saw with those things that happened in Paris, France. So let us pray for the grace and the strength of the Lord. Just one little thing about the St. Michael prayer, since the first reading talked about Michael, St. Michael. In 1884, Pope Leo XIII was celebrating Mass with a few cardinals, and he had a vision. And the cardinals could see that he was having a vision. They couldn't see what he saw, though. And in this vision, Pope Leo heard Satan speaking to God and asking for 100 years of power over the world. And God allowed him to test the world. God allows us to be tested so we can grow in strength and in virtue. And Pope Leo XIII, after the Mass, he went immediately and he wrote down the prayer to St. Michael that we know of today. And he asked that it be prayed after all low Masses, which was done until 1970. And then it was done away with, as far as everybody doing it together. And that was 33 years, it was October the 13th, 1884, exactly 33 years to the day before the miracle of the sun at Fatima, right? And then later on, 100 years later, in 1984, John Paul II did what our Blessed Mother asked. He consecrated the world, and particularly Russia, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that's when communism started to fall after that. And 1991... on Christmas Day, the Soviet Union dissolved. What an incredible Christmas gift that the world was given. The hand of God was there. 1994, Pope John Paul II said, continue praying that prayer of St. Michael. So we do that often in our weekday Masses and our school prayers and in your homes, I'm sure. So let's pray it together right now. St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.